This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is! The Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing Monday. And of course, we're going to get back to some politics here in a couple minutes. After I get done with Medal of Honor Monday, I am going to describe what we're going to discuss. Why all these rioters, all the No Kings rioters, why was it so old? There weren't many young people. All this reporting about how old everyone was. We're going to discuss that. What's going on there? We'll talk about that in a couple minutes, but we don't have time for that right now because it's Monday. It's the start of the second hour on Monday. And here on the Jesse Kelly Show, that means it's time for Medal of Honor Monday. We do it every Monday at this time. Medal of Honor citations are available online for free for everybody. Multiple websites. What we do here, you can do with your children any day you wish. With your class. Have your class do projects on it. With your sports team. You know who loves to hear stories about heroes? Everyone. Every man, woman, and child. And we should remember these names. We should remember their deeds. We should hold them up in front of the next generation and say, look, that's what you want to be, all right? And we take email suggestions. I should have already told you in the show, you can email us your love, your hate, your death threats, and maybe Medal of Honor citations you like. They are stacked up, right? So don't think you're going to email it in and get it next Monday. There's a lot of them. But we will get to them eventually. We got this one. In fact, I think we've done this one before, but doesn't matter. It's still friggin' awesome. Dear Menu Whisper, never read a Medal of Honor citation until I accidentally found your show. It's my favorite segment on all of radio now. Please consider highlighting our local Medal of Honor recipient, Herschel Woody Williams. Turns out he was a stud with a flamethrower. Who knew? All right, so I need to describe something because this takes place on Iwo Jima, which obviously you know, World War II in the Pacific, Iwo Jima. If you've listened to this show, you're very familiar with this war and this portion of the war because it's my favorite part of history. World War II in the Pacific is by far my favorite. I nerd out on it every chance I get, every book I can read. I love it. It was terrible and a variety of reasons. I love it. Anyway, but people who aren't familiar with it don't realize just how fanatical the Japanese were in these places. They were fortifying these islands with pillboxes and caves and tunnels and everything else, and they would pretty much die to the last man every time. They are the only army in all of World War II that had no major units surrendering en masse. It never happened. The Japanese would die to the last man. Now, that is a nightmare scenario when you're trying to stop an enemy who wants to die. It's just very, very, very difficult. You have to go to extreme lengths to do so. They'll hide in these bunkers. They will hide in these caves. They'll dig into the caves. They'll bring women and children in there. They'll dare you to come kill them because they want to kill at least one of you before they go. In Iwo Jima specifically, their commander, knowing they were all going to die eventually, they knew they were going to lose when we came, he said, your job is to take 10 Marines with you. You kill 10 and then you can die. And they took that stuff to heart. And that brings us to one of the most terrible, wonderful inventions in military history, the flamethrower. People have been using flames
for military matters for a long, long, long time. But during World War II is when the flamethrower really got prominence. How do you get Japanese guys who are daring you to come in? They want you to come in. How do you get them out of a big pillbox? How do you get them out of that cave? How do you get them out of that tunnel? They want you to come in. They want to die. What do? Oh, you find a way to spray flame in there and you cook them. The Japanese, by every written account, they were scared to death of flamethrowers for obvious reasons. Even people who want to die don't want to burn to death. It's a terrible, terrible way to go, of course. Now, what's that mean? It means when you were a flamethrower operator in the Pacific, your life expectancy was not very long because the Japanese, who didn't want to burn to death, as soon as they identified you, were shooting at you, trying to kill you. That brings us to the Medal of Honor citation for Herschel Woody Williams.
Honoring those who went above and beyond, it's Medal of Honor Monday.
He was born in Quiet Dell, West Virginia, by the way. For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty as demolition sergeant serving with the 21st Marines, 3rd Marine Division in action against enemy Japanese forces on Iwo Jima, Volcano Islands, the 23rd of February, 1945. Quick to volunteer his services when our tanks were maneuvering vainly to open a lane for the infantry through the network of reinforced concrete pillboxes, buried mines, and black volcanic sands, Corporal Williams daringly went forward alone to attempt the reduction of devastating machine gun fire from the unyielding positions. Covered by only four riflemen, he fought desperately for 4 hours under terrific enemy small arms fire and repeatedly returned to his own lines to prepare demolition charges and obtain serviced flamethrowers struggling back frequently to the rear of hostile emplacements to wipe out one position after another. Quick pause, sorry. A flamethrower back then had about 30 seconds of you depressing the trigger, about 30 seconds of flame, and then it was empty. So if you're wondering why he kept having to go back for more, it didn't have that much flame, and it can only carry so much fuel. Back to the thing. On one occasion, he daringly mounted a pillbox to insert the nozzle of his flamethrower through the air vent, killing the occupants and silencing the gun. On another, he grimly charged enemy riflemen who attempted to stop him with bayonets and destroyed them with a burst of flame from his weapon. His unyielding determination and extraordinary heroism in the face of ruthless enemy resistance were directly instrumental in neutralizing one of the most fanatically defended Japanese strong points encountered by his regiment and aided vitally in enabling his company to reach its objective. Corporal Williams' aggressive fighting spirit and valiant devotion to duty throughout this fiercely contested action sustain and enhance the highest traditions of U.S. Naval service. Woody Williams is a legend in Marine Corps circles. I knew the name Woody Williams when I was in. And just to, again, explain, armor, tanks, I'm going to call it tanks, but this applies to all armored vehicles, of which there are many different kinds. It's very human to picture these things as virtually impenetrable. But nothing could be further from the case. The opposite side knows the equipment you have. They develop weapons, but I'll call them bazookas, but they weren't necessarily that. But bazookas, rocket launchers. They develop weapons that a single man can carry that will take out your tank. You don't need an opposing tank. You just need something, some sort of a shoulder-fired weapon to take out their tank. The Japanese had tons of these things, and we did not have tanks that had the armor to withstand them. So if you're going from point A to point B on Iwo Jima, the Japanese are going to know all the routes you would take. They have pillboxes set up all throughout the routes. You'd roll out with four tanks, and they'd all get knocked out in 5 minutes. Boom, 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 boom. They're all gone. You're watching your guys burn to death. You sit there and watch one of your tanks get hit. Watch one of your guys crawl out of it on fire. You can get motivated to do some very brave things. And Woody Williams should have died about 15 times that day. And most of the men who were with him did die. And Woody Williams would tell you till he's blue in the face that his Medal of Honor belonged to all of them, not just him. A lot of men were with him doing things just as brave, but they caught a bullet and didn't get the recognition. He had bullets bouncing off of his freaking flamethrower tank. Yeah, crazy story. Woody Williams, remember that. All right, let's talk about the age of all those No Kings rioters. Why were they so old? An amazing bit of audio, actually. Before we get to that, let's get you a good employee. You need one. You deserve one. You don't need that guy who weighs you down. You look at him immediately and you think to yourself, oh gosh, what problems is he about to bring me? Sure, he's not bringing me solutions. ZipRecruiter has what you need. ZipRecruiter, it makes it fast and easy to find that next guy, that next girl who's going to take your company to the next level. Why? All the employees are already there. As you are listening to me right now, that next guy or next girl, they're sitting on ZipRecruiter waiting for you. 4 out of 5 employers find somebody in the first day. They're just waiting for you to post the job. ZipRecruiter has this matching technology, links you up immediately. You want to try it? ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. Go get that next choice employee. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday. Remember, you can email the show, whatever you'd like, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. If you miss any part of it, including our Alexander the Great history segment from, well, hours from last Thursday, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, and iTunes. Now, let's discuss all the reporting that's out there today about how old all the rioters were, or most of the rioters were. I know there were some young dirtball Antifa types, but all the reporting is remarking on the age. Everybody, it wasn't a bunch of young college students out there. It was a bunch of senior service Democrats out there. Why does that happen? Why? Well, listen to this woman.
I'm just so scared. I'm 74 years old. I worry about everything. And I just am so scared and upset. And I don't understand why people voted for this person.
74 years old. And she's a complete lunatic. 74 years old, and she's shattered emotionally, mentally, probably irreparably. Here's what's happened in the country. First, what do you picture? When I say close your eyes, don't do this if you're driving, but what do you picture when I say a 74-year-old woman? A grandma. I bet you she baked some cookies. I bet you money she loves her grandkids. I bet you she probably has some sort of a hobby. Maybe she makes quilts. My grandma Helen, my mom's mom, made quilts. That was her thing. She quilted. Maybe she plays bingo. Probably volunteers at her church. These are all images that pop into your head when you picture a 74-year-old woman. But let's talk about that. Why is that what pops into your head? Here's why. You don't just magically turn into a 74-year-old woman who loves to quilt and make cookies. You end up as a 74-year-old woman who loves her grandkids and chocolate chip cookies because of the path you took in life. At some point in your life, you chose to start following a path of love and care and motherhood, and walking down that path year after year after year of your life has allowed you to end up as a 74-year-old woman, as a happy grandma who loves her grandkids and some delicious oatmeal raisin cookies. You don't magically get there by reaching the age of 74. You get there by the path you chose. Now, let's flip it the other way. How in the name of anything does a woman in this country end up at 74 years old this shattered? Why were all the No Kings protests a bunch of senior citizen Democrats?
I'm just so scared. I'm 74 years old.
The path she chose. It's very common to look at young communists and think to yourselves, that's the most insane person on the planet. Look at this 20-year-old girl with her purple hair and a bunch of rings in her face. She clearly is the most mentally ill person in this country. In fact, we can't even save her. Let me tell you something you may not realize. She absolutely can be saved. Why? She's still developing. Her mind is still developing. She's still figuring out who she is and what she believes. She has just now only started down the path of communism. She is just now beginning her journey on this path that will lead her to endless misery. And if we get her off of that path, changing her direction now, she can 100% be saved. But if you are 65, 74 years old, and for decades you've consumed American media, you watch NBC every night, you're reading the New York Times, you watch CNN, consuming endless amounts of poison, because that's exactly what it is. It's not biased. It doesn't lean left. It is dishonest, vile, communist poison. If you spent 74 years walking down that path, you don't end up with quilts and grandkids and oatmeal raisin cookies. You end up some deranged nutcase crying on television because Donald Trump deported some illegals. You are unsavable because you are so far down the path, your mind is gone. Completely gone. We look at the young freak with purple hair and we say, that's the craziest person. I would argue the 74-year-old Democrat who's watched CNN for six decades has a level of mental illness that has been rarely achieved in the history of the planet. Shattered in every possible way. Why were the only people who showed up at the protest 65 plus? Because those are the only ones still watching NBC every single night. Completely broken. So far down the path, they have no idea what's up and what's down. We'll finish this thought in just a moment. Before we do, let's talk about saving a little baby. A defenseless baby. As you are listening to the sound of my voice, he's in his mother's womb. And unbeknownst to him, she has already decided to kill him. She's been encouraged by friends and family, just get rid of it, just get rid of it, go to the clinic. She's already doing some internet searches. How do I get rid of this thing? And this is our chance. This is our moment right now. We have to get to her and offer her help. Not scorn. Help is what she needs. She needs an ultrasound. Because that baby to her is not a baby yet. She doesn't know it. When she hears that heartbeat, she'll know it. That's the magic of preborn. They give out free ultrasounds to these mothers. That boy, that little boy in her womb needs you right now. $28 is what the ultrasound costs. Preborn.com/Jesse. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, finishing up our talk here on why is it that you, I bet you know someone like this, don't you? Do you know an older Democrat, a senior citizen Democrat? Are they more or less broken than the young ones you see? Why are there 74-year-olds like this?
I'm just so scared. I'm 74 years old. I worry about.
Because she traveled down a dark path years ago, and she now sits around consuming established legacy media sources that you rejected long ago, and she's broken beyond repair. It's, well, picture this. What if I go home tonight and I have a bottle of whiskey? And I drink the entire bottle of whiskey, a whole bottle in one night. I'm going to feel pretty bad tomorrow, right? But not the end of the world. It's not going to kill me. I may need the day off of work, sitting home praying to the porcelain god, but it's not going to be the end of the world. Give me a day or two, and I'll be back on my feet. Now, what if I do that every single night for a year? What happens to my body, my blood work, my liver, my organs? Bad, right? Okay. What about 5 years, every day for 5 years? What about 10? What about 20 years of that? That's what's happened to older Democrats who never broke free. Every single year, instead of getting older and wiser, they got older and dumber every single year. Older and more insane every single year. Older and more emotionally broken. And this is almost entirely the fault of the American media, I might point out, because they still consume all the traditional news sources who've been lying about everything under the sun for decades. And so that 74-year-old who should be wise, who should be up on it, is more broken than anyone. What do they think about the protests? Oh, they're mostly peaceful. Why'd they think it was mostly peaceful?
A study from the Media Research Center shows that from June 11th to the 12th, CNN and MSNBC personalities insisted the anti-ICE demonstrations were peaceful 211 times.
Say it one more time.
211 times they were peaceful.
Why do they think the stakes are so high? Why do they take to the streets with their stupid signs? Why is a 74-year-old woman, I'm so scared? Because she tunes in and believes this crap.
Donald Trump is America's Hitler.
Yeah. Woo!
That's why. We think because we have grandmas, or maybe you are that grandma or grandpa who are wonderful and wise, and you need their guidance in life. That's why I love talking to older people so much. I like to learn from someone who's lived it. We like to project the age onto, we see the age, and so we project that wisdom onto people who have the same wrinkles and the same gray hair. It don't work that way. You walk down that path for long enough, you're a goner. Let's do some emails. Jesse, before I rant, I'm Army, 80s and 90s, proud of it to my core, but I was not impressed with the marching of the folks in the parade. He's talking about the Army parade. Some had no idea what they were doing. The NCO of those groups should have had them at half step. The pace was too slow for a forward march. Was it bad leadership? Or is our military in general this bad now? Or am I just expecting too much? Okay, so first of all, I thought that Army parade was really great. I thought it came off really, really great. I thought Trump doing, did you watch any of his, he did the re-enlistment ceremony. When you re-enlist, which I never did, they have a ceremony for you. It's a celebration, right? Thank you for staying in. Well, a bunch of Army soldiers re-enlisted and Trump did the swearing in of their re-enlistment. He did it as part of this. Yeah, Chris, it was super cool. They were standing in front of him with their hand up. I thought it was great. And I thought Trump handled it really well because it can be tempting to make that about you. His speech was all about them, their service, the Army. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was awesome. I have heard some complaints like this one about the marching, about all that. Okay, I watched it. I noticed it wasn't necessarily the most in-sync marching in the world. And one of you old school Army dogs like this guy, I'm certainly not going to try to talk you off the ledge on that. I expect better. I get that. But I will say this, if I have to make a political point about it, and I will. You ask about the state of our military today. Here's what's been explained to me, so I'm going to pass it along to you. The frontline troops, the combat frontline troops, I'm talking infantry guys, Marine Corps infantry, Army infantry, Army Rangers, the guys who are actually shooting and blowing up other people and getting shot and blown up themselves, they are as good now as they have ever been. I'm passing along what I've been told, okay? They are as good now as they've ever been. Tactics only get better over time, right? You learn as you learn, so on. Tactics get better. Training gets better. You learn what works, doesn't work. Our guys now are as good as they've ever been. But remember, everybody puts a different number on this. I was always told for every one frontline guy, it takes 7 or 8 people behind him. I'm talking about supply people and medical and cooks and things. It takes a bunch of support personnel to keep the frontline guys fed and watered and to have everything they need, okay? So every time you see one of those Army Ranger types, he needs a lot of guys, but he needs the supply clerk. Those are important jobs. All those jobs are important. Our frontline guys are better than they've ever been. The people behind them are as bad as they've ever been. I'm passing along what I've been told. I haven't been in since 2004, so I'm not giving you firsthand stuff. I was in the infantry. We never really worked with anyone else for the most part. So I wasn't with the supply clerk unless I needed to go down and grab something. We didn't do much of that. The infantry, at least when I was in, the infantry stayed with the infantry. We trained with the infantry. That was who we stuck with. What has been told to me, again, is that the frontline troops are as great as ever and their backup is as bad as ever. Have you seen pictures? I saw a picture recently. They were having a ceremony, the Navy was, of a bunch of people who'd made, I think it was Master Chief. I forget what it was. I don't want to misspeak on the subject, but I think there were seven or eight of them in the picture. At least half of them were fat. One lady was morbidly obese. It looked like if she farted, her Navy uniform was just going to blow up. It looked unbelievably unprofessional. We have spent years filling up the military with a bunch of dirty commies, lowering the standards. You spend 5 of your 8 hours of the day learning about your white privilege. They had to try to shoehorn women into as many positions as possible. So they had tried to lower this standard and lower that standard, lower the standard for the men too. As standards get lower, you've filled up the military with a whole host of turds. And the problem with that is that Army Ranger, he needs those people behind him. He needs good people behind him. He can't be tough and shoot people in the face if he can't eat. So we'll move off this. I'm going to do some other emails, but that's the story. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Before we get back to the emails, here's another great example. Why is that 70-year-old man, instead of being this wise, wonderful soul like maybe you are or your grandpa was, why is he a deranged lunatic with a Snow King sign on Saturday? Why? Because he still tunes in to CBS all the time. Old habits die hard. He tunes in to Face the Nation to get the news. He hears questions like this from Margaret Brennan.
You referred to it as the threat from the radical left, an overwhelming show of force to end the riots, and talked about communities being terrorized. Given the amount of tension in the country right now, is that really the language to use?
Yes, when you see left-wing street militias who are throwing bricks and frozen water bottles at police officers and shooting them with fireworks. And unfortunately, you have mayors and governors in some places that won't allow police to maintain order. The next step is to call in the National Guard. And if the governor won't call in the National Guard, then the president has to federalize them. We always hope that the local police are allowed to do their job and have sufficient numbers.
Yeah, you got it. But you heard her question. Why is that guy completely broken? He's been consuming CBS for how many years? You might as well be doing meth for 60 years. You do it once, you probably get away with it. Please don't ever do it once. Just kind of stay away from meth. You do it once, you can probably get away with it. You do it for 70 years. What's your mind look like? What's your body look like? That's what it's like when you're a Democrat for 70 years. You don't get wiser, you get dumber. You get more insane. Jesse, considering the U.S. has stealth bombers and heavy bunker-busting bombs, why isn't the Iran attack a joint venture between Israel and the U.S.? Why do you think they're going it alone? All right. Trump talked a little bit about some Iran stuff today. Here he was.
Deal is achievable within days, within weeks. Is there that kind of runway?
Yeah, it's achievable. Both parties have to agree. Yeah, sure.
Trump is still out there trying to make a deal. He put out a social media post. I'm not going to read it for you here, but remember how many times we've talked about Trump is good at foreign policy because he looks at everything like a business deal? For Trump, it's crazy for people to fight, for countries to fight. Trump sees just opportunity there. Hey, that's in his social media post. It echoed everything we talk about when it comes to his foreign policy. Why don't we make a deal? We can do a trade deal. We'll do a great deal. Why don't we just do a deal? Israel and Iran should come together, do a deal. Here he was again.
What have you heard from the Iranians?
They'd like to talk, but they should have done that before. I had 60 days and they had 60 days. And on the 61st day, I said, we don't have a deal. They have to make a deal. It's painful for both parties, but I'd say Iran is not winning this war. And they should talk, and they should talk immediately before it's too late.
Okay, so you say, why aren't we backing them? First, we are backing them. I understand that that's not public. We have come out and we have publicly said, we are hands off here. Iran better keep their hands off our troops. If they don't keep their hands off our troops, there's going to be problems. but this is between Israel and Iran. We have absolutely nothing to do with this whatsoever. That's a total lie. All right. Let's be clear about this. And I'm not even criticizing them. That's how foreign policy works. That's how media works. I get that. If you think Benjamin Netanyahu launched all these airstrikes on Iran without Donald Trump's full-throated approval, well, I have a bridge in San Francisco. I would love to sell you. Reach out to the show. I'll give you a great price on the Golden Gate Bridge. Don't be naive. So they did have our support, meaning our verbal support. They almost undoubtedly have our intelligence support. Israeli intelligence, Mossad, is of course top-notch. We've talked about it before. Do you think they nailed all those targets exactly without American satellites providing some intelligence, without us providing on-the-ground intelligence? Of course they have our support. Now, you ask about stealth bombers. Why aren't we throwing in the bunker buster stuff and stealth bombers? Well, look at this from Donald Trump's perspective. Think about this. You don't like Iran, but you're willing to do a deal with Iran. They have a bunch of oil. China gets about 20% of their oil from Iran, so they have resources. You don't like them, but you're willing to do a deal with them. Israel is obviously going to be much more motivated than we are to take out Iran because Iran is an imminent threat to Israel. They're not to us. They can commit acts of terror and things like that. And look, Netanyahu can sell this all day long, but no, this doesn't wash.
Look, I understand America first. I don't understand America dead. That's what these people want. They chant death to America. So we're doing something that is in the service of mankind, of humanity, and it's a battle of good against evil. America does, should, and does stand with the good. That's what President Trump is doing, and I deeply appreciate his support.
Yeah, no, Iran presents a threat to Israel, not as much to us. So if you're Donald Trump, if Israel, they have the equipment to handle this themselves, and you don't have to get your hands dirty, you don't have to anger your America First allies who don't want to get involved, if Israel's already beating the crap out of them, why do you want us involved? And I'll tell you something else, something people maybe aren't thinking of, because everyone gets too emotional with these things. I understand it's emotional. It's an emotional topic, but are you sure you want to own it? You ever heard the phrase, you break it, you buy it? The goal is regime change. That's Israel's goal. And I understand why it's their goal, not faulting them for that. How's regime change work out? Remember, wanting the current dirt balls gone has never guaranteed you're going to get something better to replace them. That's generally not how it works at all. In fact, it rarely works out that way. What if we get overtly involved? What if the next Iranian government's worse than this one? If Israel's handling it, and we can at least publicly have our hands washed of it, not a bad move, to be honest with you. All right, let's move off this. I don't want to talk about this anymore. Let's talk about Chuck Schumer, China involved in our local politics. In fact, before we do that, let's nominate a veteran to get a free American flag. Have you done that yet? Pure Talk is giving a portion of every sale to Allegiance flags. They're doing a 1,000 flag giveaway. Allegiance flags, remember, they're American flags made in America. Before Independence Day, Pure Talk is trying to put 1,000 of these flags in the hands of a veteran. If you know a veteran and you want them that honor, you want to give them that honor, puretalk.com/nominate. Go nominate somebody. Honor somebody. It means a lot to people. It really does. That kind of thing means a lot to people. And while you're there, maybe consider switching to the cell phone company that does things like this. When's the last time AT&T gave out American flags to veterans? Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. You keep your phone. You keep your number. Switch to Pure Talk and go nominate a vet. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.